The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, it's the 13th of March 2017. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out and check out all the things we've got there, but most of all, go out and download the two free ebooks, one to make you think, the other one to make you take action. And I know there's an awful lot of other things that go in between, but you get the gist of it. If you don't take those two things, you might have a little bit of trouble where you want to go with your goals. So check those both out and go from there. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at all the shows. We have Bud Jeffries coming in here momentarily. And just look at all the shows Bud and I have done in just the last year alone. We have close to 700 shows up already. We're a little over 2 years now. Obviously, we are going to be doing many, many more. We've kind of slowed down a little bit, mainly because of so many business things we need to get done. Obviously, become very solvent. Also, too, there's an awful lot of people that want to talk to us about whether it's coming on, whether it's doing business with us, et cetera, et cetera. So the business right now is really taking precedent over everything. Before I bring Bud in and I give you a little bit about him, I'm going to read a very short, it's not even a paragraph, out of a Stones and Strength, Steve Jack and the late Peter Martin. And I love this chapter on Sons of Sisyphus, and it goes like this. It is at the foot of the mountain that men are proven. Here a man must choose to take up his stone or surrender his dream. No assurance of victory, and yet, like Sisyphus, one must conclude, the struggle itself towards the heights is enough to fill a man's heart. Steve Jack. That brings us to Stones, because you know how much I love them and what we like to do here with them. And I saw Bud do something, and I'm sure others have tried it. I've done it before. Very interesting on Facebook. If not, go out and look at it, where he's lifting one stone on top of each other. You want to talk about brutality. And I mean, I've done them. That stuff is amazing. And as we go on, you're going to find out. I've just put out a massive program. It'll be up Wednesday, called Sandbags and Stones, and it's called Etched in Stone. And wait till you see what we've done with this program. And I've already taken Dennis, and nothing against weightlifting, rack work, calisthenics, anything. I didn't want to put this in right away, but his metabolism was so slow and he was so out of shape, I had to install a number of stone sandbag programs, among other things. You're going to see more and more video. We just put it up. He's gone from 271 to 243 already, and we will have him 43 pounds lighter before the end of June, unless something should transpire, which we don't think that way here. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to show you what those two articles can do, among a few other things. So you should go out and check out what Bud did. If that doesn't motivate you, inspire you, I don't know what will. There's so many simple things at work. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of education on Bud, and we are going to do part two, in case you haven't checked the first one out, Basic Blueprint for Strength, and this will be part two of it. But here we go. Bud's a strength coach, author, motivational speaker, minister, business owner, and he is still one of the there aren't many of them, handful of professional performing strongmen who tour the USA. I know he hasn't done it in a while, but I'm sure he will do it again or whatever his plans are. But the thing is, this is what we've been talking about, especially when Dale Dugas was on this today. We're going to do an awful lot of things, and it's going to affect the whole world. So, Bud, welcome back, my friend.
Glad to be here, man.
Good to have you. Anything I missed, websites, anything, put it out, and we'll get into part two.
I don't think you missed anything. Let's see. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram under my name, and Twitter under my name, Bud Jeffries. You can find my website, www.anunconventionallife.com. And you can find all our stuff there, blogs and all kind of articles and all kind of stuff, man. So you can always find that and post generally a video or usually video picture, sometimes some, you know, words of training or life wisdom or whatever I think is, you know, fun to post or whatever every day. So and definitely got to have a very cool rock lifting session.
That's what I was going to say to you. And we'll get right into this, but, you know, I don't think I can make it any clearer that, and, you know, I know a lot of people are very money conscious in today's world, and we talk about gyms, and there are good gyms, but in my opinion, I just see what's around here locally. I wouldn't send my worst enemy if I had one to there. But, boy, when you talk about natural stones, Atlas stones you make, Hoosa steels, or we talk sandbags of all varying sizes and what you can do with them. You talk about an outside gym, especially you live in Florida, so the weather's a little bit more, agreeable to what we got here. They're talking 15 inches of snow tonight, my friend. So all the people here that have been going, summer's here. Yeah, I guess again. But that's another thing. Let's what I mean? You hear the stuff. I have to laugh. It's still technically winter here, all right? And it's well, and it's been freezing here the last 2 days. You know, we've been out training Dennis the last 2 days. I mean, it's 11 below, man. I mean, it's still here. And then now it's definitely happening. We got a big, it looks like nor'easter coming up the coast. So look out. But obviously stones, we love them, you and I. And I hope, I don't hope anything. The general thing here is obviously educate and get people to really join this club. This is something I feel, yeah, we talk barbells and walking and all that, but if you want to use primitive, whatever word you want to use as we use etched, it's a great feeling. It's really a great way to strengthen the body from every angle, head to toe. And what I like more than anything, it makes you really find that spirit inside of you, whether you want to be a religious, you know, form of it or whatever you believe, that's up to you. But not only that, I've made so many, I hope, lifelong friends, especially over in Scotland and Wales and everywhere like that with those guys. They're just, as they say, they're good bloats, man, and they are. So I know that was a lot, but it goes into me with strength part two, so let's take it away, sir. And anything you want about the stones, say that too. I mean, comment on anything.
Well, if you guys know me and if you've been paying attention to this show and you know me at all, you know that I'm into just doing anything crazy I can think up or whatever. And obviously, here's something people don't get. The reason I can do the stupid stuff that I do, and I don't really mean it as stupid, but you know what I mean. The average gym goer thinks I'm totally insane. The reason I can do that is because I have a huge background of the basic stuff. And so actually what I did yesterday and the thing you talked about and posted today,
yeah,
it really is a basic lift. All it is a stone lift, but what I did was stack two stones on top of each other and tried to lift that. And it was shocking how much harder that makes it.
Yeah.
How much the massive diameter of the whole thing, the change in center of gravity, makes just a stone that I normally would pick up, not easily, but, you know, relatively well, a true struggle, a true, and it makes it, but there's a thing with that. I think, and most people are going to say this is advanced stuff, but when we talked about basics and stuff before,
yep,
I actually think it was a basic lift. It's just with a little twist on it, and it's a basic form of strength to be able to lift something that doesn't want to be lifted, that has a bad center of gravity, that works against you. I think that's actually lifting in a nutshell in itself. Now, obviously, the things we do with barbells, and I talked very specifically in the first show about, I believe in, you know, rack squats, one-arm presses, one-arm rows, and either a deadlift or a stone lift for your lower back training. I think that covers the whole body very well. The barbells are built to be balanced. They're very friendly, user-friendly, that kind of thing, and they're easier for most people, especially when you're in, you know, the dead of winter and it's 150 degrees below zero.
Yep.
That whole thing. Although mine's the opposite. Our winter was summer this year, and 2 days ago, 2 days before I did that stone, it was 90 degrees.
Yeah, yep.
you know.
And which is way early in the year. We're having the dead opposite problem of you, but I kind of am like you on that whole thing. And I don't care what the weather is. We're going to train.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't matter how cold it is. Doesn't matter how hot it is. It doesn't matter. We're going to use that condition to actually make things better.
Yeah.
And to make things tougher, to get the body used to tough, to being tougher things. It doesn't matter how cold it is or how hot it is. And like, you know, people comment to me all the time on that. Oh, your yard's so beautiful. Where do you live where it's, you know, nice all year round? I said, listen, buddy, nice is relative. 100 degrees is not all that nice.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
Even for me, and, you know, obviously 11 below is, you know, not exactly the most fun conditions for you. But
yeah, but I'll tell you what. I've said this before, and you'll understand this totally. Some people look at me, or I'll get a note from somebody that says, how can you like that, enjoy it? I'll tell you what. I'm a cold weather animal. I know that for sure. I don't know. You know, I said the other day to Kelly Johnson, who I was talking to, I said to her, you know, with the name Eric, wherever that came from, where my mother and father named me that, I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with another life, if you believe in that. Maybe, you know, I'm not going to say like the show The Viking. Maybe I was in Iceland, or maybe I was from somewhere in that region. I have no idea, but I will tell you this. I don't like heat anywhere near as I like cold. Now, that will sound nuts to most people. I like cold. I like snow. I like wind. I like going out, like I said a couple weeks ago. We had two snowstorms in 1 week, because that was another week that, you know, we got 70 degrees a couple times, and everybody's like, ah, summer's here. And then we got that, and there I am outside. It fell on a day of training, and it was like, you know, I had snow up to the middle of my shins, and there I am out walking a steel stone that you can barely grip because it feels like ice. And guess what? There was a wind warning, too. Half the time, I had to put it down in the snow because I couldn't see because the snow was blowing in my eyeballs. And if anybody knows, it looks like you were crying for a week, all right? I love it. And I think what it's done to me in a lot of ways, not only has it made me a better lifter, I concentrate better than ever now. And I got to tell you, I guess I'm just a guy that likes to fight with things like that all the time and see who comes out on top. I don't think any of this stuff we do is for any loss at all. You're in Florida, 100 degrees, but obviously you've adapted yourself to do that, no matter how bad it feels. Same way without here, 11 below. All right, well, maybe I'm not carrying 350 down 95 feet, and I can only do 225 today because either the ground is treacherous or it's so damn cold I can't even hold the stone. And I don't use tacky, and tacky is useless when it's 11 below anyways. But I'm here to tell you, you can wear anything you want, but the stone gets so cold, it just glides right across your forearms, and chances are you're going to lose it a few times. So go ahead and take it, comment on that. I mean, I know we don't want to get too far from today's subject, but, I mean, we've got eternity to talk about. But I think these things are very relevant when you're talking lifting two stones, when you're out in 100-degree humidity, when you're 11 below here. What does that do to you? What does that do? Those are the things, like, and I'll make this quick. You know, Bill Hinburn's on this week, and Bill's having kind of a notch here about physical culture, how we're hearing all these different things that just do not go with the original theory and thought of physical culture. And come Wednesday, we're going to be doing a multiple-part series on physical culture from the early 1900s, and who better to bring it? But that's what I want to say to you. This stuff to me is the magic. If there was, you know, everybody wants a magic bullet in lifting, and most, there is no magic bullet, but if there's ever anything close to that, I think elements. Go ahead, take it.
No, I agree. And here's a, I think probably because you and I, and certainly Bill,
yep,
look at things from a much more the basics of actual physical culture perspective.
Yep.
Versus modern lifting in that way. I agree with the elements thing being like, people think I'm just, you know, oh, I can't believe you work out outside and the whole thing. Listen, I choose to work out outside.
Yep.
I choose that on purpose. It's not because I can't afford a gym. I can afford to build my own if I wanted to, but I don't, it's not that's not the issue.
Yep.
Okay. Money has nothing to do with it. Even if I didn't, you know, actually, being cheap has something to do with it. Whether I could afford to or not, probably wouldn't. But
right, but that's all right.
Frugal,
yep.
You know, frugal is different than affording things or whatever. But it, I honestly, even under that circumstances, I still would choose to do the majority of my training outside.
Yes.
And that actually, if you look 100 years ago, was a huge recommendation of the basics. One of the basic things they were going to tell you to do in physical culture, basic, starter. You can look up 40 different books. It's going to be in every one of these books from 100 years ago.
Yep.
Get outside.
Yep.
Get in the sunshine. Get in the heat. Get in the cold. Breathe the air. Basics of health. Outside air, with the exception of, I guess, if you're in L.A. and the smog is so thick you can't see. But as long as you got some reasonably clean air to breathe, outside air is better. Get outside. Work outside. Get in the sun or get in the elements or harden the body to the cold, the heat, both. It doesn't make it to every one of those is I believe is the basics of but again, you're talking about building you're talking about building more than just a big lift.
Yeah.
And I believe that actually it does flow right into the show we were talking about doing today, whether we get to it or not, is the basics.
Yes.
Of things. See, I believe all of this lifting and endurance and all the different movement types things that we're doing ought to be about building a better human being from a lot of different perspectives. That's the basic thing, really much more than building an individual lift. And I think that goes back to the difference in 100 years ago, looking at physical culture from many angles versus specialization, which is what we moved out of. What we had back then was guys who, you know, who had muscles, they looked good, but at the same time, they were strong in every angle. They could lift barbells, they could lift dumbbells, they could lift odd objects, they had grip. They had endurance, they had health, they had all those other things. But they were training for that big, basic, better human being concept in mind. And that's the reason I use the basics I use today. That's the reason I set up things the way I set up. That's the reason I do things outside. That's the reason I do things barefoot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the reason I do things in which people think is totally nuts. But I think it's listen, you weren't born with shoes. if God intended you to wear Nike when he did the thing, you'd have been born with shoes.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, now that doesn't mean we should be lifting all 100% naked either. So if you do that, I don't really want to know.
Right, right. Well, I'll tell you another thing too. I got in, when you said specialization, my eyes lit right up. A friend of mine that I used to train with years ago, still trains, not to the way I do. You get a lot of things that I like the guy still, and I really didn't want to get into it, but he got talking a little bit about specialization and how the only way you're ever going to be good at something is to specialize, and I vehemently disagreed with him, and I made sure he knew that, and I said to him, if that's all you we'll look at sports today, I said, I don't even watch sports. I don't give a damn about organized sports unless it's more at a high school level or something like that with football or whatever. But I see what's even going on there. It's absolute, you and I both know so much politics, so many lawyers. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous in these programs. And I said, I don't believe that. And I said, if you look at what I do, he goes, well, not everybody wants to do what you do. Some people want to play one sport and that's it. I said, but you're going to sit here and tell me that not doing other movements that will enhance how much better you get are a waste of time. He goes, I don't know if they're a waste of time, but they're not going to be productive for that sport. And I said to myself, that's the end of this talk, because I said, I'm going to get real heated with him, and then it's going to get – well, he and I have thrown fists at each other before. I don't know if we would anymore, but we always revert back to that 18, 20-year-old time, But you know what I mean, and he's like family to me. We've gotten in literally black eyed fights before because of things like that. But it's the passion, obviously. But I want to ask you this. I mean, you're involved in everything too, more so even than me with sports. What's your feeling? I mean, I know you said specialization. Maybe some things you got to be a little more specialized. But what's your feeling? I mean, look at all the things you do. All right. There's no, I don't care what you're going after. I've never heard you say to me, well, back when you did a 1,000-pound squat, but I know you were doing other things too. If you just specialized in that squat and did anything else, my feeling is you would have got it, but I don't know if you would have got it the way you did, whatever. Comment on all that, because that's very pertinent too to obviously what we're talking about with strength. Lay it out here.
Well, see, I believe in 99% of the time, for 99% of the purposes out there, you are better served to simply be using a basic program. Yep. and spend more time actually legitimately training for the sport. Versus, in other words, you're going to get better at football by playing football. You're going to get better at wrestling by playing by actually wrestling. You're going to, you know, you're going to get better at baseball by actually practicing baseball. I kind of sit in the middle on some of this, and let me tell you some things. I think what you need to do within the basics is it always needs to be everything your program you're doing, doesn't matter what you're doing, should be covering all these big basic building blocks, very specific movements of the body, very specific types of strength, types of endurance, that kind of thing. But it also needs to be covered with basics. And here's what people, I think, are missing. If you're using the best basic exercises, there really isn't much else you can add.
Yeah.
That's going to be real specialized from a specific sport perspective, with the exception of a couple of things I'm about to outline. So let me tell you what I mean.
Okay. Yep.
I just had this discussion with a guy who was a baseball player last week about training guys for baseball. And I said, you know what? I use the same things I use to train those guys as I actually would to train wrestlers or football players or strongmen, with the exception that I adjust up or down a little bit here and there for the particular things to make it specific to their needs.
Yep.
That's really the only real difference in that. I don't believe, you know, obviously, if you've seen my stuff, I'm not a believer in full-on specialization.
Right.
People miss is that, what else is there to, okay, if I've already picked the thing that's going to make my legs the strongest,
yep,
period, what else is there to do that's going to be special, with the exception of actually looking at your sport and seeing what you need to do? And I believe in such limited volume programs,
yep,
that you've got all the time in the world for sport training.
Yep.
Okay, I mean, like, if you're, you know, getting ready to, if you're going to wrestle for the world championship, when you squat with a barbell for me, I'm going to have you do mostly probably singles. It's going to take you 10 minutes once a week.
Right.
You've got all the time in the world to actually get jacked up and wrestle all day. You see what I mean?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, absolutely. No, yeah, yeah.
There's no point in trying to mimic sport. Like, okay, the big thing, HIT used to be big on this, and this was a valid point that they did make on that whole thing,
yep,
is that you can't mimic sport in the weight room. In other words, you can't throw a weighted football and expect to get better at throwing a football because it's not specific enough to your nerve pattern.
Right.
Now, I do think they slightly misinterpreted that into saying that all there is, you know, specifics. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you're making the muscles. That was their argument. As long as you make the muscles stronger through basic exercise, that's all you could do. They also said things like, you're born with certain nerve wiring and you can't change it. And if you're a slow runner, you'll never really be fast. Or if you're fast, you're always going to be fast. Doesn't matter what. That's not true either.
Right.
You can adjust and make those things, and you're going to make yourself better. You have to be adding intelligent directions to what you're doing. And I kind of go to agree with this with, like, I had this discussion with Louis Simmons at when I visited Westside Barbell, and I said, you know, my program is very different from yours. We're very different from each other. But if you look at the elements we're training a lot of the same elements.
Yeah.
And he said this to me. He said, when you get to be the best at what you're doing, or you get to be training for the largest purposes, it'll come out in different flavors.
Yep.
But we're all going to end up doing the same stuff. We're all going to end up doing a big back exercise, a big leg exercise, and a big pressing exercise. We're all going to end up doing something to strengthen our abdominals. We're all going to do something to strengthen our grip. We're all going to do something to get faster. We're all going to do something to get more aerobic exercises or more aerobic power or more ability to tolerate work. We're all going to do something for speed-based. It doesn't matter what it is, whether, okay, theirs is very specific to their sport. If I were going to do football, I'd do things slightly differently. It's all little tweaks, but the basics are the basics are the basics. I don't really believe in super top-end specialization stuff. I really certainly don't believe in trying to mimic the weight room.
Right.
I've been making smart decisions there, if that makes sense. In other words, if you know that as a baseball player you want to have more power as a hitter, it makes sense to train a rotational exercise more for that than other people.
Right.
I'll tell you one of the things that I actually was going to throw off today is one of the basics that people miss, because we talked about the big stuff there. What we kind of alluded to was the use of, I believe the basics include the use of a partial,
yep,
and a isometric,
yep,
something there. I don't believe those are things. I believe they can be used as advanced techniques, but I don't believe they legitimately are advanced techniques. I believe they're basic techniques that everybody ought to be using on a regular basis. I do think the isometric is the one thing that is so that can be done so sport specifically that it actually does have carryover from the weight room to the field. In a specific way, more so than, okay, if you add 50 pounds to your squat, you're going to be better at whatever, pretty much, but it's not a 50-50 carryover. No, it's not a 100-100 carryover, meaning if I get a 50-pound gain in my squat, that doesn't make me necessarily, in the analogy, a 50-pound better football player.
Right.
But it does add to the stronger is stronger no matter what. Faster is faster no matter what. More enduring is more enduring no matter what. It all adds to your sport, and you just need to the time and specifics to your very specific sport to get, you know, that is sport-specific training, actually practicing the sport you're doing. I do think the isometric, which is one of the basics I would talk about, one of the basics I would say, the isometric and the partial, actually are probably two of the most sport-specific things you can legitimately do. The isometric especially, because you literally can get into sport-specific positions and mimic what you're actually doing and get a nerve and muscle strength-building response so that you legitimately get faster and more coordinated at what you do.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that is the only truly sport-specific thing you can do in a weight room.
Yep.
Everything else is about the basics of the human body, and it's okay – Louis Simmons talks about this, who is a guy who's very into specifics and sport-specific and special exercises, but he really talks about stronger makes faster, faster makes stronger. You know, both those qualities make better athletes. It's not so much about, you know, in other words, he doesn't get you in the weight room, and I don't do the same thing either, and try to teach you how to run.
Right, right.
You learn to run by running and getting on the field and having somebody who's a technical coach in that way or help you with that. You know, you don't learn to play football or badminton or ping pong or whatever in the weight room. You learn to do that in your sport specific time, and that's where I think you really do carry off there.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'll tell you one thing, anything with a partial or a hold, see, you and I both know, you're not going to see much of that in any type of gym anymore for a few reasons. Number one, you know, this went all the way back to even the days of York. I mean, most people, when you talk to them about anything like that, York, obviously, Hoffman and Bill March, you know, they were all in it. That's when all the isometrics were happening. Obviously, the power rack became very important. And if you listen to people, which I don't really care one way or the other, because I hear that for any success, is, well, they were all taking Dianabol back then. Yeah, all right, well, good for them. I mean, I don't think it excuses some of the strength those guys had, and I don't know what any of them were doing. You only hear things. But my point is this. Isometrics is one of the greatest things you could ever get into. The problem we have, just like when we talked about physical culture, is this. If you don't seek out a Bud Jeffries or somebody like me or an Eric Gutman or one of these guys that have had experience with this stuff, you're never even going to know about it. Because I guarantee you, if I went to, I don't know, I can't say specifically, let's just say 95% of the high school coaches here that run weight rooms and said to them, have you ever got any of your gents on any type of power rack holds, isometrics, partials, anything like that? I guarantee you the majority will look at me like, are you insane? Get out of here. All right? Because I got this from a guy, all right? I want to tell you this quick and we'll get right back to you. Good guy that trains over here now and then. He wanted to come over one night, and we were doing a lot of holds. That's when we were really getting into all the stuff of the tri-quad dead stop squat that I'm trying to think now. John McKean wanted me to do when my shoulder was a little screwed up, and the stuff is insane. And I was feeling real good, and things were, you know, progressing the last few months big time, where I can really start hitting the back squat hard now. So the guy says to me, what are you going to do tonight? I said, I'm going to do some 2-inch Apollon front squats, dead stop off the rods, and then, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, what do you think you're going to go to tonight? I said, probably 400. And he's like, 400? He goes, I'll come over when you're training. I'm heavy. And I was like, what? I said, do you hear what I'm saying? 400. Dead stop parallel with a 2-inch bar. And anybody that's never done them, go do them. Try to hold the thing against your throat because I've got to fold my arms. Is it the most I've ever done? No. But my point is just like the isometric holds and stuff, Bud. It's like They don't see any validity in that. Now, let's be honest with each other. You and I both know, and I don't care how good of a squatter or whatever position you want to take, dead stop is a big difference from rebounding. And when I get that from a lot of people, and I'm like, well, you ought to come over here and try it and see if your spine will even hold it, all right? But I want to go right back to you, but I think those two lifts alone, they are standard lifts like we're talking about. They're all part of our base product. But unless there's something out there, I mean, I know you've put stuff out over the years. I've put stuff out, but never a big program. But if it's not out there, no one's ever going to attempt this. And I don't think in a lot of these weight rooms are really that interested. But comment on any of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think you got to look at what you talked about there with the history of that and the whole. But you also have to look at the current culture and strength, which really, okay, with the exception of the powerlifting and strongman world.
Yep.
Is extremely limited. The current culture in fitness is literally dominated by a culture of that's of what not to do versus what to do.
Yep.
And what not to, and really they're going to tell you don't do anything heavy. They're going to tell you don't do anything that's really. I mean, let's just be honest. What mainstream fitness is, that's the death of real physical culture.
Yes, sir.
Not being able to do or not doing any of that, and not being able to accept things that have legitimate validity if you don't have, you know, like I have a thing with people about this all the time about, okay, you know, if you don't have 17 scientific studies to back up your thing, even though when you investigate those studies, they were all done on like 18-year-old college freshmen who'd never touched a weight.
Yep.
Or they were done paid for by a supplement company or paid for by, they were done, or if you look at how they're geared, they're geared very specifically to prove a point, not to actually investigate the thing one way or the other.
Yeah.
Doesn't and the thing with that is you can't, okay, you can come to some decent conclusions on science. You just can't run it all the time.
Yep.
Okay, as the end all be all of what is supposed to be in training and what's not. And you just can't, because the human body adapts to different things by different people at different times in your life. What works for you today may not work in 5 years, and what may be different than what worked 5 years ago.
Yep.
And it may affect you totally different than the way it affects me. Okay? Basics are basics. Squats will always affect everybody in some way, one form or another, because they're always going to have the thing or whatever. But the way I squat may be different than your squat, and the amount of gain I get, it may be different from you, and depending on the individual program and the individual, there's a million other factors you cannot account for in a short-term scientific study. Hence the reason you have, okay, people talk about, they get so invested in one set of techniques and one set of things. Look, I don't care what your one technique is. Your one technique won't work forever.
Right.
Okay? You need to have a big bag of tricks, and it needs to have big variations on the basics, which is, again, what we're talking about there, because things are going to change in life. You're going to need to switch things up. You're going to need to do things slightly differently over a period of time. And if you happen to ever be training other people, you're going to need more tools in your bag, because different people are going to adapt or not be able to handle different things.
Yep.
In that way. I do think, you know, you mentioned the whole York thing. I think all the isometrics get a bad rap because, well, for a couple of reasons. If you don't see it moving, you can't associate the fact that it's actually working.
Yeah.
Now, if you try it, and then, you know, like if you try some of the isometrics we talk about or whatever, especially some of the abdominal ones.
Yep.
And you feel like everything in your abdominal and core complex down to your spleen cramp, you'll get the idea that even though that wasn't moving, holy crap, that is really working. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Really
that. But people don't actually normally get it. If they don't see it moving, they can't associate it with it being thing. The same with, range of motion and partials and that whole thing or whatever. Now, I believe in a full range of motion for things, but I believe in the appropriate range of motion for the individual person.
Yep.
Not some contrived, what's full range must be for me, you must be the same full range for me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have to decide for you a different, you have to decide what's a smart range of motion for you, what's a good range of motion for you. Now, I also, you know, everybody knows I believe in flexibility work as one of the big things. So I think you ought to be doing some both regular stretching as well as weighted flexibility work, things that stretch you into a good position, and you can use lightweight to do that to actually help gain in your flexibility. I think that's also a basic.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But you got to talk. But let's talk about reality of what's good for you and what's not good for you. And some people can squat like an Olympic, like these little 112 pound Olympic lifters,
yeah,
who literally sit their butt on the floor, and you know, between front squats or between, you know, back squats or whatever. But if you're a 300 pound guy and you got 30 plus inch legs,
yeah,
I don't care if you squat like an Olympic lifter, your butt's not going to touch the floor.
Right.
It's not, you're going to have too much mass to literally stop you, even if you're going as deep as humanly possible.
Yep.
Unless you exaggerate the stance in one way or another to allow you to do that. Okay.
Sure.
Again, if you're working within normal parameters there, it's what's going to work and what isn't going to work for that. I think the York, I love the York deal. I love, if you look at some of the programs.
Oh, yeah.
I think isotonic isometric stuff, the stuff with the York power rack was phenomenal. I do think they made a mistake there.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what I think the mistake was. They oversold the program.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Meaning when they started, okay, so what it is they got, and okay, and the Diana Ball thing is real, you know.
Yeah,
they were doing
it. Yeah.
However, and I'm not justifying saying one way or another, I don't want to get that direction with that. I will say this. Most of the other lifters in the world, be they coming out of the California system or be they – and certainly if they were coming out of the Russian system.
Yeah.
We're using the same stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Russians actually have been using it for longer than the, you know, than the
American lifters. Yep.
They were into it 10 years before them.
Yep.
So it, you know, okay, neither here nor there. What happened was York was Bob Hoffman, who ran York, it was a business.
Yep.
Okay. And they sold those books and booklets and all that stuff or whatever. And Hoffman was a super salesman. Hoffman
came from
the exaggeration sales style of, you know, of kind of the old P.T. Barnum setup and the old way some of the newsletters were written in the 30s and 40s and how that recycled actually into the 90s.
Yep.
Okay. In that, Hoffman was going to tell you, you know, this was the new miracle program. And it was going to be the new miracle program next month, too, as well as the month after that was going to be a different new miracle program. And that'll, and what he sold was he started to sell isometrics that are useful.
Yep.
But that are not weightlifting specific as the end all be all of strength. And you were going to get this much stronger, even if you were just pushing on doorways.
Yep.
And that kind of thing. And it's not that there isn't value in that. It's just that it's not specific to what you're trying to do. So it's not going to make your clean and jerk better if you're doing doorway pushes.
Right.
Okay. But if you do isolated rack work in specific positions to strengthen that chain as you're doing a clean and jerk, yes, it will get it better.
Yep.
Okay, it's a, and what happened with that is the baby got thrown out with the bathwater.
Yep, definitely.
People found out that, they found out three things. They found out about the Diana Ball, they found out about that the program that he was selling them as a numerical program wasn't quite as, while it was good, wasn't as big a miracle as he sold it to the NAS, and that he was going to do that pretty much no matter what.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, the whole, that was going to run that way no matter what because that's the way Hoffman was as a salesman. Now,
yep.
Hoffman did a ton for American weightlifting.
Sure
I got
did.
No fault for that or whatever. And not and even remotely to bring that up or comment on that. I'm just saying that's what – that took an extremely valid training technique, one you should have in the bag.
Yep.
One that is actually a basic type of strength. And I'll tell you why it's a basic type of strength. Because every other lift that you do, 90% of the muscles firing are actually firing in an isometric fashion.
Yep.
When you squat, the primary movement muscles are the hips, low back, and, you know, quadriceps, hamstring complex, okay?
Yep.
But the calves, abdominals, the upper back, traps, arms, earlobes, toes, whatever, is also firing in an isometric position.
Yep.
Most of your body is supporting itself in whatever position you're doing, regardless of the actual movement. So most of your body is actually doing an isometric most of the time.
Yep.
Any lift that you're doing. And here's my deal with this. This is, you know, I'll tell you why isometrics fire me up and why I think they're a real lift. Because I thought because of all the training that I've done that I would be really great at them right off the bat. And what I found was I wasn't nearly as good at them as I wanted to be or as I thought I should be because I wasn't training that specific type of strength on a regular basis. But when I did train that, my other lifts went up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And my muscle went up and my strength building went up. And I found that when I started, and I did the same thing with partials. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was already a strong squatter, a strong lifter. I was already a teenage national powerlifting champion. I'd already set 3 national records. I'd already set 25 or better state records before I ever touched a partial.
Yeah.
But when I started doing them, my other lifts went up.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, because it is a type of strength we're not touching That is literally a basic time of strength. See, that's one of my arguments with partials is that people talk about, well, you're not using the full range of motion. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Find movement in daily life where you actually legitimately use strict form or full-on range of motion.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Grapple with that, okay? And you talk about sport specific.
Yeah.
All right? You know why I would have football players do partial squats? Number one, because it would make them stronger.
Yep.
Number two, that's actually fairly sport specific to them.
Yep.
It's fairly sport specific to grapplers.
Yep.
And it's very life specific. Why? Because when you wrestle from a standing stance, you don't drop to a full-on deep squat to execute those moves, unless you're literally dropping it. But that's a lunge. That's for a single leg or that kind of thing. You don't wrestle from a deep squat. You don't play football from a deep squat. Even if you're a lineman, it's not really a deep squat. It's a half squat.
Right.
Explode into the person in front of you.
Yep. So what are you in there right there? You're into a partial. See, think. You know, that's the thing. Right. Think, people. Think. That's it.
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Life, a combat, boxing.
Yeah.
Any is from a standing most of the time position. And even if you're on your back and grappling, it's not a full bench press. You're moving people around different directions. It's not a full deadlift usually to pick somebody up.
Nope.
It's not, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. That's why you need to train full range of motion. And now, so let's talk, if we're talking about the basics for today, let's talk about variety of range of motion as a basic.
Yep.
Okay. So I have my basic power squat, which starts from around parallel. That's my basic full range, heavy range of motion. But you'll also see me use some body weight and some flexibility-based stuff. That's a super deep range of motion.
Yep.
For deadlift and squat, because I want to have that deeper flexibility. And I don't think that's an advanced move. I think that's a basic move. And you'll also see me use a partial for both of those movements. And you'll see me use the same thing for the shoulders, okay? Because I need those strengths from top end, I need it from in the middle, being able to hold and stop things isometrically, and I need to be able to move through a normal, easy on my body range of motion, and I need to be able to move through an advanced flexible range of motion. Those are basics most people don't have in their programs.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All four of those, you really do truly need that, because okay, where do you get hurt when you're talking about building a physical culture program to build a better human being? Where you get hurt is where you lack strength.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's where you lack flexibility, okay? So you try a lift from a position you can't normally get into, or you get caught in that position when you're grappling, or whether you're in a sport, or whether you're just in life and you got to pick something up that, you know, your keys fall under the car.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you
definitely.
You get in this over-exaggerated flexible position that you don't have flexibility for, then you get hurt.
Yep.
Or you get in positions that are normal and you're not lifting from that range, you get hurt there. Or you get in positions that you really are strong in, but you haven't trained that, and you're not used to being able to hold that for a period of time, or not used to being able to actually apply the strength you could have, and you haven't done that partial work, and then you've got a potential of injury in every possible range of motion, and what you really have is lack of what you ought to have.
Yeah.
Okay? Lack of the strength and flexibility and the ability to move through a full range, move through an ultra full range, move through a short range, create power in every one of those, hold, stop, and apply isometric power. You don't have all of those. You just don't have the basics of strength.
And I totally agree. And I know we're at time, but I hope next time we meet, I really want to keep going with this, because there's a lot more to say. And I'll say a couple things, and I'll shift it back to you and just summarize and give out your info and everything. But is this isometrics, holds, whatever you want to call it, I'm telling you right now, let's just equate this quick, and I know we've got you're on time like myself, but this, you want to be a great stone lifter, everybody? I know you're shaking your head, and obviously there's other things you can do, but I'm just going to equate it to my experience. We just talked about the power rack. You go and do all those movements in a power rack, whether it's holds, partials, dead stop from anywhere, full, standing up. I don't care what it is. I'm telling you right now, and Bud can correct me if he wants, but I don't think there's anything you won't pick up. Now, maybe you can go out and do a little grip work if you want to, but the amount that's going to be on not only your central nervous, but the confidence you're going to build. And think, man, you know, people don't realize this. I know Bud does. What if you start doing partials and you're loading, say, I don't know, hundreds or 845s on each side or more? Do you know what kind of grip you get when you're picking up plates, especially if you're alone like me and you got to go back and forth, and you're picking up thin ones and deep dish ones and everything. You want to talk about building fingers, digits of power, you could stick with that. And then secondly, if you don't know, if none of you heard of the great police chief who used to be in Schenectady and very big with York was Joe Peters, I became very good friends with Sergeant Peters. He's passed away long ago, but I've got two of his big plates sitting in my biggest Husafell stone cement out there in his honor. He allowed me. He had so many original York barbell equipment, and I think he had every strength and health and everything. And he wouldn't sell the rack, and I know why, and that was fine. He gave me dumbbells, a lot of things he couldn't use anymore as he got older. I got all the measurements, and we built the same exact rack, only this thing is 5 times in steel of what the original York was. And that is my rack that I'll always have. Even though I wasn't around in that era, I got Joe Peters' rack here, technically only built the gauge of steel, makes that thing look like a toy. So I just wanted to pass that on. But I hope, you know, Bud, I'll give you this. I think if you're game, I'd really like to get into obviously more of this if you want. If not, we'll do something else. But this is some real interesting stuff. And I got to tell you, other than you and I talking about it, and I could be, you can correct me on that. Eric Gutman too. Eric was part of some of the stuff he and I did where he gained like crazy last year. This is the real deal. So comment on anything. Give out all your info. Hang on. Let me give out mine, and we will get set up for another show, please.
Yeah, I think we need to fill this out to maybe a couple of more shows to really pull on that print of basics.
Yep.
Yeah, and I agree. All that basic lifting, all that basic holds and that kind of thing are really the real deal for super top-end strength. And really the real deal for giving you the ability to have widespread, possibilities. Like one of my deals is I want to be the strongman with the widest variety of potential feats. I want to be able to be good in just about anybody's sandbox, whoever's one I want to play in.
Yep.
And to do that, I train a massive set of basics all the time that I'm giving you my personal deal with that. We've talked about in the first show, rack squats, one-arm presses, one-arm rows, deadlifts or something lifting. Now we talked about advanced levels of movement, in other words, flexibility, super flexible movement, normal range of movement, partial range of movement, and isometric, which is a non-movement but still a movement in this theory. Okay, those things all together, by training all of those ranges of motion, by training those styles of strength, now your body's prepared to give a maximum effort from every piece of the body, as well as every type of potential test of strength you could put the body under. And every possible range you could put it in. So there we've got the basics covered by the basic areas of the body, the basic lifts, and then the basic ranges of motion, as well as the basic types of strength you might apply.
Yep.
There we go. Now we've got, and here's the thing, you get great at that stuff, you'll shockingly suddenly be able to do some stuff you didn't ever thought you were able to do or imagine was possible, or you can just jump into somebody else's thing and be shockingly good at it.
Yep.
And that's the whole idea. So you can find me at Bud Jeffries on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and you can find me at www.anunconventionallife.com. You should check out www.keys2limitlessliving, which is Peter Ragnar and I's program on life coaching, and we're going to have some brand new stuff coming soon on strength from me. I got a whole new plan for more info and more new stuff to put out for people I think you're going to love. And got lots of new, if you want to watch me be crazy every day, just look at me on Facebook, brother. I'll find you.
That's good stuff.
I'm crazy to you all the time.
Yeah, but you know what? That makes the world go round. And you know something? More people need to do things like that because we need. I'm going to make it short. We just need people not only to inspire, but we really need role models. And I know people say to me, well, I can't be a role. Yeah, you can be a role model. You can think a little bit more of others than yourself. And I've said this before, the weight room is the teacher to me with so many things. But man, it's what you take out on the road with it that's going to really matter. And that's the stuff that you're going to be around a long time for. Don't be like these people that, they come around like a flash, like a meteor through the sky, 2 years and you never hear from them again. And that's just how life works. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com. Go out, sign up for the two free ebooks, one to make you think, one to make you take action. As I said before, motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Go out and just look at all the shows Bud and I have done. There is plenty, and as I said, we're very close to 700 in a little over 2 years. We're coming, folks, and we've been coming, and I'm telling you, we will be a national radio show before you know it. This is one thing before I leave the earth I will do, for sure, among many things I want to do, but this is very important because you heard what we talked about here today. We're going to get somebody influenced to do what we talked about, and that's what's the most important thing to me. Also, go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and we thank you for that. If there's a show you'd like Bud and I to do together, Fiorello Barbell at nightcap.r.com. Go out to AHA Directory, subscribe to Motivation Muscle. You can get us streaming in your car 24/7 now, and that's a heck of a way to spend your day because you can learn a lot. You'll be very inspired, and you won't get out of your car all gloomed and doomed as so many people are. You'll get out with a big buzz in your head, and that's really important. Also, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, crank it, twist it, break it, press it, squat it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And by the way, go lift 2 stones like Bud did and let me know. Also, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. If you're going to go out and you want to go out and look at a stone, look at domination. Domination, we clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's, believe me. No one will ever, ever strip us of our manhood. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that forever. Frank Klein, my greatest marketing business teacher in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, who was a big mentor and like a father figure to me because I lost my dad long before I met John. And we lost John almost 3 years now to cancer. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you to say that to yourself on your best or worst day and not smile. John would have been, I wish I could have got John on here. You folks would have loved him. You talk about a man's man. Generosity like you've never seen before. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by and tell 100 or more of your friends because we're not going to come for you. Softly, we're going to put our foot right through your door. Join our family. Join our revolution. And I'll tell you this, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness, but we'll take it 2 steps further. We got your back and we believe in you. And I don't know many people that would do that today, but we are not like most people. Bud Jeffries, another great show. Thank you for being on, sir.
Yes, sir.
So we'll talk to Bud. We'll get Bud back on. Obviously, we're going to keep going with this flow because I love this talk. So for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. We will talk to you soon. And remember this, go out and do something super this week. It's all up to you, folks. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.